Good morning. Today is Thursday, the day after the 4th of July. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Did you have any reports or any recognition or awareness of any goofy stuff yesterday?
You know what? Yesterday was actually a really, really great day. We, you know, just had a few minor incidents. Nothing really major happened. And last night, besides the loud booms in all corners of the county, everything was quite peaceful.
And other than Fortuna, you guys got that taken care of early, right?
Yes. Well, you know, the weather really, really cooperated with us yesterday, so we're very, very happy with that. So.
And nobody climbed any statues in Humboldt County.
I haven't checked in with Arcata yet, but there might have been a statue climber there yesterday.
I'm a little surprised that with this gal that did the thing on
Statue of Liberty yesterday?
Yeah, that they're not talking about, you know, if... I'm surprised they're not talking about some of the same things that talk here.
Yeah.
Well, geez, you know, if you start a fire, you're responsible for it. Mm-hmm. If you cause some extraordinary police services, you're financially responsible for it.
Yeah.
They shut down the whole national park.
Yeah.
And they had some of New York's finest there.
Yeah.
I've not heard anything about a dollar sign. I've just heard about a misdemeanor.
Yeah. I mean, that. I think that you bring up a really, really good point. I mean, you draw all those resources in where, you know, they could be handling public safety issues somewhere else in and around the city, and you're shutting the monument down. Which prevents, it might be the only day that someone gets to go visit the monument because you want to make a political statement. And I think it should come with a nice little fine. I think you're right on point. So if you believe in
it. Same thing with the guys that dropped the banner down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything that causes the extraordinary.
Yeah.
That's all. Right. But, you know, hey, we'll find out.
Right.
Our Why Do They Say That for this morning is album. You have any idea what was an album originally? All-knowing.
I don't. Enlighten me.
A table with a white top on which were kept the names of Roman officials and accounts of public proceedings, which was prominently displayed in a public place. The word comes from the Latin albus, meaning white. The British adopted the term during the Middle Ages and was used to signify a register or list of persons. From this, album acquired its present meaning.
Huh.
A little convoluted way to get there, but
okay,
that's all right. Hey, and tomorrow's alcohol.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
man. You just have to tune in and listen.
I will. My goodness.
And
I'm not going to read it.
I think, are we going to have Shannon and the Fortuna Rodeo guys in tomorrow?
Well, that'll be a great
I just
show.
Wanted to say it in advance. I'm not teeing it up for any reason at all.
Oh. It's always a good time at the Fortuna Rodeo.
Yeehaw.
July 20th and 21st.
I see. You've seen the posters around
yes,
town.
Yes, I have.
All right. So what's got you concerned right now? Anything in particular?
You know what? The biggest thing is the wildfires throughout the state right now. You know, we are lucky. I'm knocking on wood in the studio this morning that, you know, we haven't been affected by it. We've had some small fires. But when you look at the fire season, usually it's put off towards the end. August, September, October are usually the big fire times. But you're looking at Southern California, you're looking at Lake County, Siskiyou County, all have, you know, fires
going. And
what's
going. This thing, what you were saying, the news northwest of Sacramento?
Right, yeah.
Is that?
I believe.
That's not the Lake County fire coming over
no,
the hill.
No, I think.
That's another one.
Yeah, I think you're I'm not sure where that is.
That's right, because they didn't say Pawnee. They used another something or another word.
But you have a lot of a fuel load still, and you have the temperatures and the wind. It's just driving these wildfires, and it's already really pressing our resources here in the state.
Now, for sheriff departments, you guys don't necessarily respond to the fire, but it's kind of pull the string, and everybody kind of starts doing different things.
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways we get involved. One is what we're trying to do is with every wildfire, whether it involves evacuations, we have a joint response with the fire jurisdiction. Usually it's CAL FIRE, and we establish a unified command because we have to have a coordinated effort to do evacuations. We do not want our deputies or CAL FIRE or CHP to just start randomly telling people they need to leave and not give them a direction, not give them a place to go. And so everything has to be coordinated. So we're teaching our guys now to go to the command post, to establish unified command, and to work with CAL FIRE and all the resources, and then work together. And that's so far as working really, really well. And we feel like we're a part of a team that is really helping the community.
For us, it would be the fairgrounds or, I guess, large gathering places. I mean, if you're in McKinleyville or Trinidad, you're not going to go down to the county fairgrounds, but each area's got a big set-aside area.
Yeah, I mean, so it could be a lot of different areas that we could go. If there's a fire outside of Fieldbrook, we could tell people to go to Blue Lake, could tell people to go to McKinleyville. We'd give them a location where they could go.
Schools, that type
of
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have to establish those things ahead of time, and we have to establish those things because we're also coordinating our Humboldt alert system. So it's our emergency alert system where we notify people via phone, text, and tell them, hey, listen, there's a fire in this location. We're asking for evacuations. These are the roads that are open. And then this is the location where you can go and basically stage or find shelter. And then we would ask the county to step in. We'd have Red Cross step in to try and help the people that are displaced if they're out of their homes.
Now, that system doesn't replace the EAS, does it? Is that in conjunction?
So it works in conjunction.
You know, that person you have down in the basement?
Yes.
You know, I don't know if you still call her the troll or not, but yes.
So Office of Emergency Services, that's part of the Sheriff's Office. So we use that, and that is who would be pushing that big red button when we talk about Humboldt Alert and getting that messaging out.
Even to us.
Even to you,
yes,
Brian.
Yes. Yes. That would be the radio station, the plural us.
Yes, we uns, you.
All of us in
you
the audience.
So yeah. You can get that word out, for sure.
There you go. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Wildfires are things that, they're not predictable, but they are, right? I mean, it's summer, it's here, we know we're going to have the winds, we know we have the fog going, you know, and the winds because of the temperature differences, mountain range or two across. The pot growing used to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, the annual migration of the termigrants used to be.
Right.
We were in Garberville 2-3 weeks ago, midweek, 6 to 8 o'clock at night. Not a single anybody on the sidewalk that was of that appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those changes too?
Yes.
Is this a non-happening event?
We have seen some significant changes. In a lot of the marijuana related stuff. Number one, we've done some flyovers, and it's not only PG&E that's flying over Humboldt County. I know that's no surprise.
So the guys that can't follow the lines isn't necessarily PG&E getting lost.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So our drug enforcement unit does fly and has done some aerial surveillance all over the county, and we're seeing a significant reduction in illegal marijuana growing in the county. So it is. There's a couple different factors.
One, replaced by legal or just
no,
less grows?
So there's less grows all around. There's less grows. And so the legal ones are thriving. We see some permitted growers. And when people talked about in the past, okay, you're going to be able to look at a map and see green dots and then red dots and those kind of things. I mean, it's really happening. And we're seeing those. And we
What's
see
a green dot, red dot?
Green dot is meaning the permitted grower. The permitted grower has a green dot that we... we see that
so
there's
you guys when you're flying over. Yes. It's not us looking at it and going, oh, no. Look, there's a red dot.
No, there's okay, nothing significant. Thanks. We look at a 2D map and we say, here it is. These are all the marijuana grows that we've identified. These are the ones that are legal, these are the ones that are illegal. And so when we go flying, you know, we look at these illegal grows and so we're seeing a significant reduction in the outlying areas. We're seeing, I think there's a couple different factors. One, the price per pound has gone really low. And also the market is flooded now because they're growing all over the state and the West Coast now. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah, up and down.
Up and down. And you just see also just throughout the United States, it's slowly getting either legalized recreationally or medically. And so there's some significant reduction in, I think, the need to grow marijuana. So with that, because the price is so low, I think the word's getting out that, you know, if trimmigrants come here, they're not going to find any work because the biggest liability now to the marijuana farmer is labor. So they have to do a lot of the labor themselves because they can't afford to pay someone or no one wants to do that work for $10
an hour. Or automation of some sort.
Yeah, or automation. So, and then the way that they're doing with a lot of oils and, you know, and those kind of things, contrary to cannabis, you know, they don't have to be as, you know, that trim and that kind of thing is, you know.
So the labor needs have shifted.
Yeah.
Or changed. What do you hear from your buddies like in Monterey County and Santa Cruz County? Are they suddenly seeing changes because that's where these folks are now are arriving to rather than arriving here?
So the Monterey counties, Santa Barbara counties, I've talked to those sheriffs down there, and so they've seen this obviously a significant increase in permitted grows because things are out in the open there. They can't really hide them in their rolling hills. And so, but they have a lot of greenhouse space in Monterey and Santa Barbara, and their counties are streamlining the process and getting people permitted, but their taxes are a lot higher than our local taxes here. So they have a lot of greenhouse space. People are actually going and doing and growing things there. But, you know, there's definitely what we're seeing also is in the foothills of Sacramento. And so you're looking at, you know, Placer County and El Dorado County is you're seeing expansion of illegal grows in those areas.
Are those counties just kind of dragging behind us?
Yes, but you know, because we've had like our market flooded here forever, there's still places where you can hide marijuana, and there are some of those counties have permit processes, some of those counties have a way of getting legal marijuana, but also there's people that are moving in there that are also growing illegal marijuana, so they have their work cut out for them. They're busy there in those counties pushing down illegal grows. We still have a job to do because there's still people that are growing illegally. There's still people that are damming up creeks and making a significant impact on the environment on illegal growing.
But the big pressure seems to be alleviated a little bit.
Yeah. You know, also what's working great is our planning department. Our planning department, even though people are critical because, you know, it just takes, you know, sometimes forever to get through the permit process. There's a lot of hoops to jump through. But one thing that they are doing is they are notifying property owners of illegal growers. And they're saying, you know, there's an illegal grow. This is the violations that are associated. And you need to clean it up or face fines. And so that is forcing people to shut down illegal grows on their properties because the property owners don't want to face a $10,000 per day fine.
Is that notification process coming as news for a lot of the property owners, or is it kind of been wink, wink, and they're kind of aware? The reason I'm asking is there are a new niche now developing of people who will go out there and get these guys off the property. I mean, if Angie and I had some, you give me a call and say, hey, by the way, okay, well, what do we do now?
Right.
I'm not going to go out and, you know, start waving a gun around.
Yeah. Yeah, there are consultants, there are groups that clean up those areas. But, you know, we've had people that don't know that their neighbors are growing on their property. And so
that's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk Shop presented by American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese, Redeck, and CDH Painting. Billy, some of the different things that we are sensing, there's a change going on. You sense it on the street. You get a feel about it. Yeah, we may not be seeing the trimmigrants, but we're also not seeing a lot of the cash in the area. So the climate is a little bit different right now. Is that what you guys are seeing too? Is that there's just a something? We're not sure what. We're not sure where it's going, but there's a change afoot.
Yeah, so Humboldt County is going through, I think, a little bit of a change, you know, and I think change is good. We can't, our economy can't sit back and be propped up on a false economy, really, with the cash that illegal marijuana infused into our community. I think we have to look elsewhere. I think we have to look at business. I think we have to look at developing.
Economic development, the traditional
economic
way.
Development here. Yeah. I mean, you look at California, and man, I tell you, I talk to my friends throughout the state, and housing prices are ridiculous in the Bay Area. Sacramento's going up. L.A. is off the hook. Here we are in Humboldt County. I mean, houses are still expensive.
We just don't have houses.
We don't have. Well, I see some coming up, but
yeah,
you know,
there's a couple.
But development here, you know, we spent the St. Joseph Hospital has developed a great hospital system. You know, we have an airport. There's a lot of different things that are going well for us here, and you know, it appears to be global warming is helping us out here. You know, I mean, we are, you know, the weather is getting very, very nice, and we live in a beautiful, beautiful area. Of you know,
we just got to get some jobs happening. Right,
we got to get some jobs, economic development, and have something for people to come here, and not just have a bedroom community or retirement community, but be a community that's sustainable. I want my kids to be able to raise a family here and have a living wage job here and to be able to afford a house here.
When you are out running around and your guys are either doing the code enforcement or whatever else. Do you run into the anti as much now as you did, let's say, 2-3 years ago?
What do you mean, the anti?
Here come the sheriffs, boo, you know, the one-finger salutes, all that kind of stuff? Or do you feel a coalescing, or is it the same as it's always been?
No, I think, over the last several years, I think we've made some significant inroads in the community. And, you know, our sheriff's deputies have done a lot of good in the community over the years. I think what we're doing now is really trying to push out that information of all the great things that we're doing, all the community events that we're doing to try and bridge the gap. We want that experience with the sheriff's deputies to be a positive one, even if we're taking someone to jail. And our deputies do a great job. Our correctional deputies do a phenomenal job in their jail. And so I think we're getting more and more of that information out there. And I think now, more than ever, I mean, when people see the sheriff's deputy roll into the scene, I think people are confident knowing they're going to get a professional law enforcement official there to handle whatever problem that may exist.
July 2nd, little excitement inside the jail. One of your
yes.
This is a good guy thing. You don't have to give one word responses on me all of a sudden.
Anthony Silva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Training exactly. Kicking in, concern kicking in.
Absolutely.
Listening, not and paying attention. I mean, what kind of gave him the opportunity that he stepped up to?
Yeah, you know what? Our guys, you know, they in our correctional facility, our correctional deputies, they're paid to really to read the room and to read people because they don't have the weapons, the less lethal, all the stuff, you know, available to them. And they're managing, one person's managing a dorm up to 50, sometimes 75 people. And so that one correctional deputy has to know their dorm and has to know their people. And then he sees someone choking and then immediately acts on it. And yeah, there's, we have first aid training and, but he took it and he went with it. And instead of calling for a nurse, instead of calling for backup immediately or whatever else, or pushing that on someone else, he took it into his own hands, picked the guy up, did the Heimlich maneuver, and 5 to 6 thrusts, he able to dislodge that thing out of his throat and save the guy's life. And, it was very, very significant and, you know, pretty awesome. And
did, what was the, I was curious because I'm sure it's never going to be in a press release, but hey, live mics are wonderful. What was the response of the others that were in that facility at that time?
Yeah.
Was it was like applause? Was it, hey, this guy's okay? Did they try to get in the way?
So
what was that crowd response?
Right. So actually, there was another inmate that was trying to do something, trying to do the Heimlich maneuver on the inmate first, and he wasn't getting the job done. So everyone was shocked to see what was going on, and then the correction deputy stepped in and did it. So everyone was very happy and elated that this guy was saved. You know, this is our worker dorm. So these guys all work together on different projects that go out on Caltrans assignments, and they're out of the facility. So these guys, you know, are really low level offenders, and they're actually out doing work out in our community, you know, while they're in custody. And so, you know, it's, you know, these guys have a bond together.
Kind this of a, is more of a team.
More of a team effort. Yep. So they're very, very happy. Now, this is not the only incident that's happened this month. We actually, our correctional deputies actually saved two other people that were trying to commit suicide in our facility, trying to jump over the rails and so forth and so on. So two other deputies ended up saving someone. And there was one incident where a correctional deputy grabbed the guy and held on, and other inmates came in and held on to the correctional deputy so he didn't fall over.
It's like one of those cartoon things.
Yes. You know, and so anyway, it was, but that's the kind of relationship our correctional deputies are building with the inmates and trying to, you know, to help them there, and they were helping each other, which was pretty significant.
Kind of countering the state prison stories that you hear about.
Yes,
on the other side,
there's bad parts of the jail too. You know, well, that they would, you know, sock us.
KINS News and Information Time. We won't do it here because we're going to break. It's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Is it me? Is it really me? Okay, KINS News and Information Time is 8:46.
Good morning.
Hi, dude. So what are you seeing with some of the stuff that's going on? You know, it's out there in the big, bad, beautiful world. If the 4th yesterday was kind of cool, if you're seeing some changes and it's not so nasty, does it mean that the nasties aren't here? Or does it just mean that there's been a shift or a change?
There's been a change, but there's still the criminal element out there. There's people that are still on the black market when it comes to marijuana, and it's very, very evident because our home invasion robberies at these illegal marijuana grows are going up. And so we're seeing a lot over the last 2 weeks. We've seen people coming up from the Bay Area and with masks and guns and trying to do, you know, these takeover style robberies at these houses and marijuana grows and
These are the houses that are on site. You think of like a caretaker cabin kind of thing, or they're coming into town where the growers are living and breaking into your neighborhood, my neighborhood, but these are guys with big bad guns and attitudes to match.
Right. And so it can be either or. You know, there's a lot of times I think when people try and make deals with someone from out of town that they aren't familiar with, and instead of showing up with cash, they're showing up with guns. Or word gets out. You know, they do a deal with someone, and then they say, hey, listen, I just did a deal with this guy. This is where we met. And then next week they're showing up with guns because they know that there's some cash there. They're going to try to get some marijuana there or whatnot. But it's still, there's still violence associated with illegal marijuana. We just got four individuals in custody yesterday for ripping off a marijuana grow. And these were guys with masks, weapons, all up from the Bay Area. And they're here to do some really, really bad stuff. And so that just means that if you're out and about and you see suspicious activity, please call us. Let us know. Log license plates that are in your neighborhood that don't, you know, shouldn't be there. And
could it be just something as goofy as they just don't look like they belong?
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Well, you know, it's enough for you to at least be suspicious. And even if we don't respond out there because it doesn't rise to the level of a crime, but still a suspicious vehicle driving in the area with a license plate, we can at least log it in our system. So if something does happen, we have something to follow up on. Because unfortunately, sometimes these guys show up in masks, leave with masks, and then drive away in a white SUV. And we don't have anything to fall back on. But if we had, you know, someone log a license plate, you know, earlier in the day with a white SUV driving through the neighborhood, then you know, we have something to move on.
Are most of these still predominantly bad guys on bad guys?
These are illegal growers dealing with gang members from the Bay Area. Yep.
So regular guys.
Permitted growers, we're not seeing this. Dispensaries, we're not seeing robberies up here.
Are they in other parts of the state? I hadn't even thought about the dispensaries getting held up.
I don't think so. I think they've had pretty good security around the state on dispensaries.
Hope it continues. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks, Brian.
See you tomorrow.